And I'll follow up the bishop's comments on the Four Marks newspaper, because that was my introduction to Father Trinh. Last fall, it was either October or November, I keep forgetting, but last fall, there was an article in the Four Marks newspaper, and it was basically an autobiographical account by Father Trinh of his journey through the Novus Ordo and then and so forth, and he'll tell you about that. And it reminded me a lot of Father Oswalt and what also many lay people have done by, you know, getting out of the Vatican II Church, finding the traditional Mass, but then realizing, well, this group is, you know, under Rome and I can't do that, and kind of one step after another. So I found his article very inspiring, and that's why I got in touch with Father Trinh to ask him to come and speak here at the Fatima Conference. So I think it'll be quite interesting to listen to his story and all that he had to go through to get where he is today, beginning with his life in Vietnam and so forth. But it does bring out the value of the Four Marks newspaper. And I wanted to say that because I know that Kathleen Plum does it almost all herself, no full-time helper, a little bit of help here and there. And she's had writers before who will write for maybe two or three issues and then don't want to write anymore. And it's not an easy thing to keep it going. But I know that it has reached a lot of people and has helped a lot of people to understand what is going on in the church. And as I said, it was a means for me of becoming aware of Father Trinh, and that's how he got to the point where he's here this evening. So Father Anton Tai Trinh will explain to you his life and his journey to get here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Father. I invite you now to pause to join me in the prayer. And I was asked to pray in Vietnamese. And the word will be here. That will be the Hail Mary full of grace. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. Kính mừng Maria, đầy ơn phúc. Đức Chúa Trời ở cùng bà. Bà có phước lạ hơn mọi người nữ, và Giê-xu, con lòng bà, gồm phước lạ. Thánh Maria, Đức Mẹ Chúa Trời, cầu cho chúng con là kẻ có tội, khi nay và trong giờ lâm tử. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. I would like to thank Bishop Piravana, Father Benedict who contact me, Father Casimir, and all of the priests and sister and all of you. I'm new with Sede Vacantes, with tradition. So I will tell my story here in roughly probably about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and after that I will take some questions, so we go from there. Yeah. I was born in 1956 in Saigon, the capital of South Vietnam. Of course, now it changed the name into Ho Chi Minh, a communist leader. So for us, we still like to call the city Saigon. I'm the oldest of the six children. And I thank God that my youngest sister married Bernadette is here with me. In April 30, 1975, communist tank officially crushed down one of the gates at our president palace in Saigon, and it marked the time we officially lost the war in Vietnam. It bring a lot of turmoil, and it took me a while to be able to realize that I need like the old loyal Israelites to pray to the Lord. Lord, as you chose us to show to them the world your holiness. So now you chose them to show us your glory. So I thought the own Jews, the own Israelites, if they're able to accept being defeated and honor the power of God, that God chose it like that, why not me? After all, it's a kind of strange. In the war, if I just met one Vietnamese veteran here, why very strange? If you talk with any American veteran, they never lost the battles. But at the end, they lost the war here in Washington, D.C. And for the Vietnamese, sometimes we lost some land, and it took us days, sometimes weeks, to regain the land. In other words, we don't lose anything. But at the end, we lost it. But it's very strange. So, let me go to Vietnam and imagine with me when I was 18 years old and a half in 1975. I was a freshman of University of Law and University of Literature in Saigon. My family is in Biên Hòa. That's where America has the largest airfield belong over there. My father is a high-ranking official in the army. And he worked at times very closely with the American, and sometimes a kind of secretly. So I'm not exactly know what he's doing, but I knew that he cared for us, he cared for the faith, Catholic faith, and he cared for the country. The war in Vietnam became intense in 2 years, 1968. With the Tet Offense on the New Year's, the communists broke their promise and attacked us. And it took us a while to reflect, to defend ourselves and regain the land we lost. But we did. And it's amazing that the communists have to learn that the South Vietnamese people doesn't want them. It is so heartbroken upon the communists that their crazy leader, Ho Chi Minh, died shortly after that in 1969. So we thought that we will have peace soon. But in 1972, Henry Kissinger, at that time with President Nixon, force us to sign a treaty with them. And that's a tactic that I will reflect later on when I came to this country. The tactic was called in Vietnam, đánh và đàm, attack them and negotiate, doing both at the same time, or alternate, attack and negotiate. That's what they did militarily. So when we are forced to sit down with them, we knew big trouble will come. And by the way, in 72 is when U.S. government officially cut off military aid to Vietnam, reduced it to the minimum, and American soldiers, the regular soldiers, are not fighting in Vietnam from 1972. Only the special force or the one that got American embassy and in a special activity. So the Vietnamese South Vietnamese had to carry the war by themselves without military assistance from Americans from 1972 until 1975. 3 years without much help. And on the communist side, they still receive full support from both Russia and China. My parents and my mother, both of them, are refugees, even in our own country, Vietnam. In 1954, they moved south. When the country divided into two parts, the north officially belonged to communists, and the South belong to Republic, the first Republic, South Vietnam. Before that, of course, we had a king. In fact, the king died not recently, but not far away here in Europe. And he was converted to Catholicism before he died. But my parents teach me a lot, because as a refugee in 54, and lo and behold, in 75, they become refugee again. So I observe, and I learn from them how they practice their faith. We belong to what you would call the first wave of both people. I will be short on this, but I like to get into other things. I'm not getting into the boat. Accidentally, my family get into a very big military raft, bigger than this room. And at two sides is sandbag. In the middle, they can roll down four or five big tanks. And even up to 200 soldiers with full equipment can be carried on that. And a special tugboat, one or two, we tow the whole way. The bottom landing is flat. So when we get to Saigon River, everyone got panicked. We are less than half of the days before communists took over. And because we have children in our family, my father is in his uniform. He has a secretary also, his bodyguard. Of course, they carry a shotgun. And six of our children, and my mom. And we're able to rescue two priests. So Escape Vietnam with us is two priests. One come from central Vietnam. He lost his parish because we lost the one central Vietnam. So when will they come? Usually they will terrorize the people. They don't kill everyone. They just pick up 5 or 10, light them up, shoot them in front of everyone, and demand obedience from the rest. I will come back to that kind of obedience later on when I reflect about faith. So I come to America and I go through many different places. 1 week in Philippines to recover, because we spent 2 days, 3 nights in the open sea. And because that raft, that marsh is flat. So all of us are fainted except some soldier. They strong enough, so they still half deaf, half awake. The rest of us lying down and no food, no drink. The sun is strong, beat down on us, but they warn us. The water around us is salt water. If you cannot hang on and drink it, you will die quicker. So they had a method to gather the deal, the damnness, and get some water, but that's only for children and pregnant women. So we, it's not come our way. In our system, if trouble come, the man, the leader first, but the man and the boy die first to protect the church or the village. After that, is capable woman, and then go down the line, the children. So when we don't have enough food and drink, of course, the man and the boy will have to sacrifice and yield it to the woman and the children. We grow up like that, so we discipline in that. And going through war, I grew up during the whole war, so I got disciplined like that. So I like group discipline. When I come to America, I think America is spoiled. You are so blessed by God. You are not worried about people knocking on your door at night. And then your dad, usually your dad or your husband, will disappear and never come back. You don't have that. You don't have to worry. Maybe now you do. You don't have to worry whether you will have your pastor next week. Maybe things are changing. I will go back to this when I talk about faith afterward. But I grew up in that. So it's very strange for me when I come to America and they ask me, how do I vote in Vietnam and what party do I belong to? I think they are crazy. We never ask people that question. Because that might be the end of their life. So we are careful not to ask people what party they belong to. In America, you don't care. But to my surprise, in America, they trained me and they said, never ask an American lady how old she is. So I learned, never ask how old they are. Except now in traditional circle, and I learned otherwise, you can ask in traditional circle. So now that's my one way to sort it out whether someone are noble, subtle, or tradition. If the lady is so offended after I ask her age, then I know she belongs to noble, subtle. I make a mistake. I found it very strange in my theological training. Now I realize I was sent to one of the most liberal schools in America, in Chicago, by the name of Catholic Theological Union, CTU. That's one of the three unions in USA. And they had the largest theological library in North of America. And many religious orders sponsor it. So they send the best of their men there to teach. So we learn. I remember one day we had to listen to Hans Kuhn. Very difficult to understand him. And then in the big church, I forgot what church, it might not be Catholic church. I don't know, it might be very big church. So I fell asleep. And I didn't realize back then that when I sleep, I snore. And snore loudly. And lo and behold, the next day, I got interviewed to make sure that our nation needs that I fall to sleep. And I'm not planning to do any protesting or anything. But that's how I go through. And I have to adjust. At home, we pray daily at night as a family. We pray the rosary together. So I'm surprised that in my seminary, we don't have much of that. So if I want adoration on the rosary, I do it with a few others. At first, I thought that I made mistake because I did not see another system to compare. So I thought it is American that influenced Catholicism. I did not realize that they changed the system completely. I never know about tradition throughout my whole training in the early 80s. And then I go to mission for a couple of years, come back, finish my last year in theology, and get ready to be ordained as a noble sort of priest. I was ordained in 1990 by Bishop James Like, a Franciscan. He deceased now. And I was ordained at St. Peter Church in downtown Chicago. I'm very fond of my friends with the Franciscan and with also with the Society of Divine Word, SVD. So we have a lot of questions and they ask me how I grow in my faith, and I ask them how they grow in their faith. But it never come across us that we don't have another system to compare. We are completely novice auto. So I was a novice auto priest for 13 years. The last 3 years is very rough. Because that time, from Virginia, when my mother has a heart attack and might die any moment, I asked to be incarnate into Austin, Texas diocese. So I go there. But the last 3 years while I'm there, I start to be more conservative. And then I met, God sent some lay people who are traditional. So I start to learn a little bit. So I try to implement in my parish. Let me tell you a little bit. Now I shift to how I survive here. I change a little information, but I don't want to reveal name. It's not important. Of my parishioners, there is a beautiful couple with two little child, one boy, one girl. They are very cute and like to learn to pray, so I try my best to teach them. And one day they come to me and they cry. And the husband cried too. So then I learned that the wife left them and she married another woman publicly. So they asked me for help. So I tried to talk and the woman doesn't want to talk to me. And she blocked me when I tried to talk to the other woman and asked where she is. And then I make it very clear, I won't give them communion because they are living in sin. So that's what I believe, so I tell them that. So they talk me back and forth. Lo and behold, they send a letter to my bishop and he called me in and he gave me the order. But before he gave me the order, he pulled out the universal catechism. And he told me to mark down a number of those. Go home, read it, reflect it, and come back to him. I go and I read. And I'm surprised to learn, my God, Vatican II happened in a personal level with me now. Because I realize what I'm read. It can be interpreted in both ways. I sense it. The bishop used it and told me homosexual is okay. And I'm afraid, I start to anticipate, oh, I need to give communion to that woman. I might need to preside her marriage. What do I do? I got panicked, so I prepare myself. When I come in, this happened. Bishop told me, so Father Tai, he called me Tai, my first name. What you think about what I asked you to reflect? Yes, Bishop, I read all of that, I reflect all of that. And I had trouble with that. But he's very friendly in the beginning. He tried to coach me into something. So we go on for a while. And he realized that I won't change. Because that by that time I pray a lot. I like to pray. And the Lord and our mother guide me. I think I'm safe because I pray the rosary. I struggle to be faithful and have 3 rosaries a day. Most of the time I fail it back then. But 1 rosary a day. And so I doing that and spend 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament. Do I still believe Jesus in there? I do that. So he told me I need to give communion to them. So I kind of release. I said, Lord, at least you accept half of my prayer. The bishop did not demand me to marry them. That's good, Lord. Thank you. So, but I got hurt. I said, I'll give communion to them. What do I do? I go home, I pray, and then I got the idea. I don't put down anything in writing. I go straight to 2 of them. And then I convince them that when you die, and your soul appear before the throne of judgment of Jesus, Back then, I don't know whether now I will say it. Because now I learned that something more. But back then, I think this is correct. So I say to them that, you know that beside the Lord Jesus, he will ask all of the apostles, the bishop, to be there. And he also asks all of your pastors to be there to help him to judge you. So what, Father? He asked me. So then I come in, I told them what I think about communion. I said that I think it's in sin. You live in sin, you should not receive communion. Every time you receive it, you commit a sacrilege. And if you do not go to confession, any sexual action is a mortal sin. And there is no such thing as a woman marry a woman, or a man marry a man. It's not God's commandment. And I don't know how they translate it, but I tell you solemnly now, if Jesus asks me when you die before his throne, I will tell him, Lord Jesus, I explain everything to them that they should not receive communion or attempt crazy marriage. Now they do. As their pastor, I strongly recommend you to send them to hell. I told them that. Of course, the bishop told me I need to tell them this and said, oh, by the way, the bishop told me to tell you this. So I told them what the bishop said, forced me to say. So I tell them that. But after I say to them what the bishop say, I repeat what I just say to them. I will strongly recommend Jesus to send you to hell because you receive communion. You know, I might be wrong, but that's what I believe. So I say them. I say to them like that. Of course, they report the whole thing to the bishop. So the last 3 years, in the beginning, every week, I come. At first, I saw the bishop. Afterward, he got sick of me. So I start to see another priest. No mention of name. Now he's a bishop of somewhere in the south. Okay, so he tried to convince me. And I explained, I pray, Lord, Father, I want to obey, but I can't. Because I deeply believe it. It is sinful. It is displeasing to the Lord. I cannot look at the face of Jesus when I die. And whatever you told me, it's very difficult to understand. I read it and I don't understand what you say. And I have the document. For example, I said, I read everything. You see it here. I highlight everything. Like a document officially of the U.S. bishop, always our children. I read it, and tears in my eyes when I realize, who will help the homosexual people? Who will tell them that God loves them, but God wants them to be pure? Not just because you are homosexual that you go to hell, but because you act out of yourself rather than believe in the teaching of the church. So you are doomed. But who will tell them that? You can fight back with faith and be pure. Many young men, young women have to struggle to be pure. They cannot say that because I'm attracted. A man cannot say because I'm attracted to the woman. Then I can be impure because it is inside of me. So how can someone with homosexual tendency would say that? God made me that way, so now I act it out and I will commit sin. Everyone has to carry the cross. So I believe that, so I share with them. So I lost them. So I knew that I have some enemies I don't want to. But the Lord trained me and I realized I need to be trained by God to be more courageous because I'm not. But that's why I need to carry this cross. So little by little, I learn. I love hearing confessions. I keep hearing. I'm hearing a lot. Even Novo Soro, they had a day off. So each week, I have one day off. But I make sure that on my day off, I say mass for the people. and hear confession, and then I leave the parish, come back later that day. So that's, I just build up myself, try to build up the library, and whatever devotion I heard, I know, I share with the people, try to build up faith. And I believe that we need to build a fortress. President Yim, the one they assassinated in 1963, he is the first president of South Vietnam. And he is the first Catholic president we have. And we had the first and the last honorable and holy Catholic president. After him, everything goes downhill. I know in America, in your library, especially public library, it could be different. Do not trust them. What they wrote about President Yim, Ngo Dinh Diem, and the First Republic of Vietnam is lying. They try to accuse him as a Catholic, as suppressed Buddhist, and try to accuse him of commit a lot of crime, and especially being a dictator. I want to contradict that. His whole family, including Archbishop Ngô Đình Thục, is a very holy family. And almost all of them got killed with the coup d'etat in 63. The president himself and one of his brothers, Ngô Đình Như, both of their hands are tied behind their back, and they were stabbed many times and die by bayonet. Only afterward that they shoot them to cover up. And of course, they make a lie the next day when they take a picture, present it in a newspaper and say that both of them commit suicide. We laugh about it because by then the Vietnam War is long enough for us and for them, non-Catholic, to observe and recognize. No matter how tough it is, our Catholic soldiers will not commit suicide. They will bear torture and die as Catholic soldiers. And he is a president, Catholic president. He cannot commit suicide. We don't believe that. Also, his hands are tied behind his back. So that's a miracle if it can commit suicide. So we won't believe that as Catholic. But we know, we accept it, and we pray to the Lord. We love our country, but we love God all the more. We sense that we will lose the war, but we still have to fight to protect our freedom because we know what happened when communists took over. So return to that case, the bishop marked me. The last meeting I have with him before he kicked me out, refused to incarnate me and say that they cannot transform me. And I know that they cannot transform me because one day when I go to the chancellery, I just stand outside waiting to meet the bishop, talking with someone. By accident, I turn around. And as I turn around, all of the priests, religious, and lay people, they turn around also. They are afraid to look at me. But that signal to me, I'm a marked man. I used to go to the priest retreat. I know, so I just bring my own prayer book, rosary, and everything. Most of the time when I go, when the priests gather the first day, they have problem because they don't have their breviary. So we cannot pray together. So we have to wait for someone to go to some different places, gather some book, bring in for us. So So any of you want to go back to Novo Sordo, you need to prepare. That's the reality of Novo Sordo priest. Good man, but not necessarily good priest or holy priest. Many times it's not their fault, in quote. I believe that we need to take responsibility. The system deceives them. But on the other hand, everyone can claim that it's not my fault, that I did not know. So how the Lord Jesus Christ will judge us when we die? So I don't believe in, I don't know it, so it's not my sins. We know the secular law. We cannot defend ourselves by telling to the judge, I did not know, I'm new in this country. I did not know that when the red light turned on, I should stop. And I cannot read English. I study law, so I know. The first law it teaches us is not knowing the law is not an excuse to defend yourself. That's the first law we need to learn. So we are trained not to trust in anyone that say that, but you're honorable. We don't know the law. Good. Now you go to jail and learn the law there. I will come back to that later on. What happened with the Lord Jesus who says something similar? Oh, good. Lord, it's not my fault. I just obey my pastor, my bishop. You should send the bishop to hell. Should send my pastor to hell, not me. What happened when Jesus said, don't worry, go to hell and meet your bishop and pastor there. What happened? If that is the case, how do we defend ourselves? So I make up my mind, okay, I will try to be the best conservative priest. By little, God guide me. The best conservative priest is not enough. One day, the elderly priest teaching in the fraternity of St. Peter come to me and told me, I need help. I'm my own father. I heard that you are a good priest. So come and help me to hear confession. So I go, I did not know about much about tradition. So I go, I back a little bit now, earlier. So I go and help him. So I start to know Latin Mass a little bit because most of the time I hear confession, carry on to the Mass. So when I finish, I go out, I saw it a little bit. So one day he told me, do you know Latin? Almost known father. How much do you have in Latin? 1 or 2 weeks when they want us to sing a song. So that's how much I learned Latin. Could you learn this? Okay, father, what do I do with that? That's a corpus. Yes, so he said that. I want you to help me to give communion. So you need to learn. So I go back to learn and I help him. So that's how I learned tradition a little bit. And then when I learned enough, he sent me to other place. I cannot say much about it. I changed a little bit. Otherwise, harm them. So when no one around and they sense that I'm okay, I will not reveal their name or so. They reveal to me they cannot preach at all about what is wrong with Vatican II. They are allowed to have the Latin Mass, but that's it. We go quietly. They do something with the local bishop. And if they violate that, they will be kicked out. So after I learned that, I thought to myself, what do I do? Knowing that, so I go back. I want to talk with that elderly priest. And then I learned. The priest very kind to me. He tries to, he want to reassure me before he broke the news to me that he want to help me. He's very tired now. So he doesn't want to come to the priest meeting anymore. Because he and I are more than 100 priests. Only two of us wear, quote unquote, our uniform when we gather with other priests. from our bishop down to the youngest priest, they wear lay clothes. So it means that now I'm a big sultan. He tried to prepare me, I will be the only one walking into the room wherever we had the priest gathering. I will be the only one that had a collar. Only once in a while that all the priests will wear it. In general, they don't. So I keep doing that, and sometimes I wonder, Lord, I don't plan to convert any of them directly. Are they stronger than me, smarter than me? I don't have much. But I hear your calling, but I don't know what to do. I pray for them. I realize that I got stuck. And lo and behold, someone introduced to me different magazine, and especially the Angelus Press. Oh, by the time I got it, it's stronger than 10. I start to learn more. So when they had their first program to train priests, and I go and meet with my bishop, bishop got angry because I do not give communion. And I coach them. So the last thing that broke out is that I have, I forgot, 30 or 40 first communion kids. So it's reported to the bishop, and I prepare to give them communion on their tongue. So here I am, present myself to the bishop again. He called me in. Father Tai, is that true that you plan to give communion on tongue to the children? Yes, dear bishop, that's what I intend to do. And then it's go on. So at last, he pointed his finger at me again, and he told me, I will send a sister and some lay people. They will come and they will report to me whether you will obey me or not. So dismissed. I go home, I pray, Lord, bless Virgin Mary. What am I end up now? What sin do I commit? So I try to complain, but then I got stuck. I said, too many sins. If God punish me, I better bear it. Better now rather than in hell. So I, you know, Vietnam War in a way is good. It teaches me that when I got stuck, I will trust in God, and wherever God put me, over there I will find. And I'm not worried about whether I will die or not. I worry only that I will not live a holy life and die a happy death. That's what I'm worried. I'm not worried about whether I will win the war anywhere or whether I will die. So I just praise myself. I pray, and then the Lord sent me an idea. I believe that from the Lord and our mother. So again, I use the same tactics. I get all of them. I change my story. I said that, you know, I would not call it, I have a dream. But when I'm half awake and half asleep, I do have a dream. I want to share with you my dream. And I go on. On my dream, the Lord Jesus sits on the white throne. And along him is bishop and apostle. And lo and behold, he called me to sit on one of the chairs too. Because he told me that you are the pastor of St. Joseph, so sit there. And I saw all of you show up before the Lord with your little children. So I changed my story a little bit, but basically the same. You know what I think about receiving communion by hand and standing. So if the Lord asks me, I will strongly recommend to him to send everyone that disobey me to go to hell. Of course, whether I have a dream or not, I'm sorry, I'm not Martin Luther King. They don't respect me. They don't care about my dream. So here I am, seeing the bishop again. You have a dream, they sarcastically asked me. So I try to keep myself not smiling and not showing any fear. I know that you are about to chop off my head. I will not give you the pleasure of seeing me crying. So I asked the Lord to give me the grace to be firm and gentle. And he come down on me, and then he stand up, and he about to throw something at me. And all of a sudden, and I feel hurt in myself, and he said, I want to defend myself. But all of a sudden, it's strange. I believe in special grace. All of a sudden, it's as though someone pour cold water on my head. I feel so soothing, so peaceful. And I hear, of course not with my ear, and I don't have any vision, okay? I'm not claiming anything. But I hear inside of me, they're saying, don't worry, I'll take care of you. When I hear that, I'm not afraid. I'm so peaceful. But I look straight in the eyes of the bishop, and I still remember, I said, dear bishop, I am your son. And I am your pastor. And I want to help you to build up the kingdom of God on earth. I'm not your enemies. I'm not against you. But I cannot do things that I strongly believe that it's sinful. So he said, you write out right now, I want you to write out that you, everything you do, you commit sins of disobedience right out, and you promise to change all of that. Change of that means that I will give communion to lesbian and give communion on the hand and all of the other things. And he said, all of that. I said, I cannot do that, bishop. I told you already. He said, I will kick you out. And it's amazing. I do not feel threatened. I do not flinch. I'm not crying. I'm not laughing. I just talk normally to him. That's how I believe the Lord keep his promise. When the enemy attack you, don't worry. Don't prepare what you will say to them. The Holy Ghost will be given to you, and you will know what to say to them. That's what I did. I just calmly said to the bishop. So at last he said that he will kick me out. And he want me to sign. So the last trick is that, so you sign here and say that you hear everything I say. And you can leave. You don't need time to think over this. You have to make the decision now. So I excuse myself. I disobey him right there. And I left. So while being independent, and then the SSBX accept me. So I go to the training. I forgot 6 months or something from the chancery, either from him or another bishop. They sent a couple of lay people to call me at the SSBX house. They said, keep harassing, a lot of calling. So at last, I know what I need to do. So I say, okay, let me take care of this. So I called them back. Of course, as a layman. I said, well, the bishop wants you back. He know that you love to hear confession. You like the poor. He decided to give you one of the very big parish in the poor neighborhood. And he knew that you speak a little bit Spanish. You would be happy there. Big, big parish, a lot of poor people. And he willing to let you make it a special try. You can hear confession all the day and every day. Wow. I said, it's very strange. But you need to leave the SSPX. So I answered, I said that, could you pass the word to the bishop? I asked him two things. I'm not a pope. I know only the pope can name someone a saint. But I don't think it's wrong to call this person blessed. Could you ask the bishop to change the name of that parish into, of course, you know that at that point I was a member of SSPX. My understanding, I above Novo Soto, but lie here, right here, not here yet. So here's, I said that, could you ask the bishop to name it Blessed Marcel Lefebvre? First condition. Second condition, now I'm very busy. If you open it, a lot of people will come. I need help. Could you ask the bishop, allow me to bring a couple of priest friends and sister and religious brother and maybe even some lay people, old member or friends of the SSPX. Because at that point, I thought the SSPX is the strongest group. I asked that. Of course, they never called me back again. So I thought that that's it. So I would be happy until the end. So I go on and do my work or so. And of course, in my training, I noticed something I'm not very pleased. Ask question. But I was discouraged. For example, I know SPS are good priests. I know many good priests. But I knew that back then, in our training, we are not encouraged to do research about sede vacantes and many other things beside that. So I know almost nothing. And I make quite a few mistakes as a result. I'm not blaming any group. I blame myself. I don't have the knowledge. And so when I go out later on and I help a parish north of Chicago, somewhere in Milwaukee, they told me, do you have anything to prove that you are a traditional priest? Then it dawned on me, I have nothing to prove. So I tell them my story. I'm conditioning ordained by Bishop Foley in 2007, but I was told I cannot invite other people to come in. Strictly only my small family, my mom and some of the brother and sister, nephew and niece, and that's it. The priest, they will invite some other people, but that's how, and no picture are taken. And I saw the certificate on that day, it disappeared quickly. I don't have anything to show to the group that I'm helping, that I'm traditional priest. So they wrote a letter to Bishop Foley, to Father Rostand. I myself, I sent certified letter to Bishop Foley, to the District Superior of SSPX, Father Rostand, to the Secretary, Father Treasurer. Basically, I received back only one letter, nothing from Bishop Foley. From Father Rostand, I received, and basically, he did not answer my question. No trace over there to say that I am a traditional priest. I cannot prove it to the group. And the group told me that they also received a letter. And the letter told them, go to the SSPX parish close by. And that's it. So they come back to me and they said, Father, how about being conditioning ordained again? I said, no. Because I don't doubt my conditioning ordination by Bishop Foley. Yes, I know about the Cardinal Leonard case, but I don't believe it. Because a good bishop is under two good traditional popes, past the 11 and past the 12. So I feel out if that two traditional popes did not know and using him in important position, the ship is sinking deep. I'll better be sinking with the boat, with the ship. So that's my reasoning. So I don't do anything about it. I concern about seven priests. Only two tell me, well, you don't need to be conditioning ordained. But for the sake of that group, maybe you should do. The other five or six, they strongly, and I don't want to mention any name, two of them are elder priests. Very honorable among traditional circle. But he told me, Father, you need to do quick, otherwise you harm our people. You are not priest. And I tried to say, but I was conditioning on it. No, you are not priest. So I'm confusing, but at last, because the majority of them say that, and the group promised they pay all the money and they're doing it. And I don't know who is the bishop that they are doing. But the bishop that kind to me, and now I hear some other thing, but I want to stop at what I know about him back then. He's a good bishop to me back then, and present to me, if they corner me, corner you, Father, I will conditioning ordain you. But you don't have to. That's Bishop Petko. And he revealed my file, preparing it, and he sent to another bishop. And the other bishop didn't want to see me when he heard that I'm a former SSPX. Later on, I learned from other people that SSPX steal two of his parish. He got angry. So he thinks that I'm about to steal his parish. So he refused to see me. Not only until he heard that I come from Vietnam and suffer under communism, and he suffered under communism too. So he decided to conditioning ordain me again. And that's Bishop Slupsky. And again, I want to just stop there. I don't want to judge. Based on the little information I have back then, that's what I need to do. And I'm willing to learn more as I know about Sede Vacantes now. Before I start a question, I want to move because that will help me to see why I want to work with CMII now. So, I come to help Father Ringrose in Vienna, Virginia for about 3-4 months. He's a very good, strict but very good priest. Because his concern, his health, so I cannot reveal much. But anyway, I believe there's a miracle from our mother. I come in here to help him to do something. But all of a sudden, that something disappeared, and he's okay. I'm very glad. And then word from California come and said that Monsignor Perez have about 40, 50 Vietnamese. And they're confused. They need help. And I speak good Vietnamese. The word rich Vienna that I can come and help. So I said, okay, I come for 10 days and help. And then I come 2 times. One time in 10 days, one time in 3 weeks. So when I finish 10 days, take the airplane to go back. The very day that I left California, that day in Vienna, Virginia, they released the proclamation that Father Pfeiffer and other declare that they want to be loyal to Archbishop Lefebvre, and they depart themselves. So I respect whatever. I don't see whatever. So I just trust Father Ringro when he told me the meeting is here. He showed me some picture, very blur. I was not there. I don't know exactly what's going on. But I sense that God doesn't want me to see the meeting. But out of my thinking, I still want to help them. So I asked the Vietnamese in California to help me to help them. So I collect some $2,400 some dollar. So when I left California, I told the group, asked Monsignor to send the money quick to help them. Lo and behold, the second time when I come back to California, I realized the money is still there. And now the direction is that here, the bank account is just open, your name on it, you do the sending. No one wants to touch the money. So, on 1 or 2 days, I forgot, before I come, I need to make it clear again, I respect, I blame myself, not others. Do I believe due to my sins, that the Lord want me to go around and around. I love the sharing of Father Oswald. I admit I feel jealous a little bit of you, Father. I said, oh Lord, how come you didn't help me like him? Go straight to CMI. But I realize I need to go through purgatory, part of it now. So, my regular custom, praise myself and whatever, ask God for the grace and be tough. and carry it out. So I do. So I don't know exactly a couple, and I don't want to blame anyone again. So I present and go in and said, oh, I say bye-bye. I cut out the name now, but I think you know who it is. I respect that priest, but of course I have some concern now. So I pray for him and continue to pray. So I told him that, well, Father, the senior priest, Father, told me that you are sede vacantes, but you don't want to act like one. And I feel happy. So I said, you know, I just learned about sede vacantes. I feel very excited. Just about 2 years, I want to learn more. And it's very tough, Father. I need to hear something from you. Because I met a couple, five, six different groups, and all of them claim that they are the authentic sede vacantes. And they all contradict each other. Even one group told me that forget about training yourself or praying for your salvation. It's too late. You need to go to hell. Again, no name, because I realize now I'm confused. I feel how everyone will be more or less confused somewhat. So I don't blame anyone. I thank that group that they answer me. So at least I knew that I cannot ask them for help there. So I knew. So that there's a good thing that the Lord blocked it, so then I can look elsewhere. So I don't want to blame them. God bless them, whatever, wherever they are. But I want to learn to become real traditional Catholic. So whatever it takes, I ask the Lord to help me so that I can be fully traditional. And I say right now, I'm not fully traditional. So I need to learn more. And I believe that the Lord will help me with that. So I told him, I am less than 2 years and want to learn. And I can see the eyes of the priest change. And then I stopped. I realized something. But basically he said he's not sede vacantes. And whether soft or tough sede vacantes, he kicked all of them out. So, again, inside saying the prayer and firm myself, and I learn not to blame even if this please me, it causes problem for me, I blame myself. Because I realize God must punish me because I'm not careful when I'm younger in my training. I have questions, but when they provide me with fake answer, I trust too much in them, rather than pursuing them with my question, why we do not have even one course about the Blessed Virgin Mary? Why not? Why can we have the rosary as a group and pursue it? But I let go when they attack me or cunningly explain it to me. I accept it. I thought it part of obedience. I blame myself for not being careful and allow them to dupe me. So that's why now I don't want to be duped. I try to learn about it. So, here I am. On one hand, I know that 40, 50 Vietnamese, they love to learn, and I love to teach. I have my bachelor degree in ancient philosophy. I know a lot about Aristotle and Plato. And God give me, my mind is very logical. And I also double major. I had a degree from University of Missouri, Kansas City, in mathematics. So I like logical things. It's a couple years already. But every day, so at least every 2 or 3 days, I had a free program of Summa Theologica. So I just go in, read it, reflect it, cut it, and paste it in my Excel. I attempt to make my own encyclopedia, so it will help me in preaching. So it's working. I have a lot now. So if you want to say something like truth, and then I go to Excel, someone show me how to use Excel. They told me that's for money. I don't have money anyway, so don't worry about learning the home program. Because I need a program that will help me to sort what was in here, A, B, C. Because I want to make a dictionary. So they told me Excel will be the one. And it worked. So they told me carefully, do not choose the first line, otherwise the whole thing upside down. So that's what I did. So now I am right at the point that, and I'm thanks God that I asked, I just asked Bishop Pirovana. We tried to talk through phone. And I appreciate that the congregation sent me holy oil this year. But I never met him. So this is the first time I met him. I love his lecture. And I sense that God wants me to be near him, to learn from him. So I asked. I told him, I make a lot of mistakes. Bishop, would you like to test me out and see whether I can help you, whatever? So he said that he will arrange for me about that. So with that, I think that this looked like a retreat for me, and this could be new for many people. But I sense that if God's willing, and Bishop Piravana and the priest or sister here willing, I would like to work more with the CMIs. I want to learn more about Sede Vacantes, because now it dawned on me that that is a good way to help all the Catholics to keep their faith. My observation, non-Sede Vacantes, they have to deal with the issue. Someday, Vatican will invite someone in their group to sit down and negotiate with them. So the whole problem of making a deal with the devil will return again. But being a set of Vacantes, these are skills, I couldn't find a better term, so I use it. But I put in parentheses, so I'm not really mean you are this, okay? I'm thinking that you are the lepers, in quote. As Sede Vacantes, and because of your leprosy, you are safe.